Yeah, it's 9:32. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. And now I'll demonstrate our absence of a cough button. Oh, yeah. The Pope says people like me are evil. Do you know that? Actually, he says that homosexuality is evil. He doesn't say transsexuality. But it's pretty clear where he's going with it. The president supports taking away my marriage. Clearly, something has to be done about evil, immoral persons like myself. The homeland must be defended. The purity of the people must be enforced. Local preachers take time out from their efforts to aid their community to accuse people like me of stealing the thunder from their righteous cause, because I'm evil. And the word is finally trickling down to the street. The young men may not read the newspaper. It might take a while for the news to get to them, but they hear what their parents and their peers are saying. It's time to kill the faggots. This has been made increasingly clear to me as I go about my duties in the fair city of Portland, Oregon. I wonder if any of you think Portland is a tolerant place. Maybe it is, because I'm still breathing. I drive a city bus 5 days a week, and I'm an androgyne, which is to say, in the popular parlance, I'm a faggot, a queer, a dude in a dress, and a sign that things have gone too far. Things have gone too far. I mean, I should be killed, or so I've repeatedly been told. I think that if the people who say these things knew that I had both male and female components to my body, they would still want me killed, maybe even more so. It's just a matter of respecting the president and the Pope, after all. The last couple of days have been pretty rough for me. Yesterday I was loudly accosted 4 times. Gets to where getting out and doing my job is about defending myself as much as it is driving a 13-ton vehicle 10 feet wide, 40 feet long, through heavy traffic. But at least no one has physically attacked me for a while. Good thing I don't live in New Bedford, Massachusetts, where a teenager took it on himself yesterday to reduce the queer population. Here's part of the report from a CBS affiliate. Police are looking for 18-year-old Jacob Robita of New Bedford. He is described as armed and dangerous. They say Robita walked into a gay bar with a gun and a hatchet early Thursday morning. Oh, I guess it was last week. No, wait. Maybe it's today. I should check these things out. Well, anyway, early Thursday morning is what it says. Started attacking customers. According to police, Robita went into Puzzles Lounge on North Front Street shortly before midnight and asked the bartender if it was a gay bar. The bartender told a CBS reporter Robita then ordered a drink and asked if there were any other gay bars in the area. Bartender told him there was a lesbian bar down the street. A short time later, Robita ordered another drink, walked to the back of the bar room near a pool table, pulled out a hatchet, and allegedly started swinging. Someone tried to stop him, and a 27-year-old man was hit in the face with the hatchet. The bartender says he and another person tried to stop Robita, and the hatchet fell out of his hand. That's when he allegedly pulled out a gun. Bartender Phillips says Robita fired one shot into the air, then shot the 27-year-old man in the face and 2 other people as well. The other victims are described as a man in his late 40s who was shot twice in the face and a 23-year-old man who was shot once in the stomach. There's no word on the conditions. They've been flown to a hospital. The bartender said Robita then pointed the gun at his face and pulled the trigger, but there's only a click because he'd fired all the bullets in the gun. My heart is still in my stomach from that one, the bartender said. And the attack is being investigated as a hate crime. One of the first acts of political violence by the Nazis was to burn down the Institute for Sexual Studies, where gay, lesbian, and transgendered people were being studied and treated. That was in the early 30s, and the attack was met with much popular approval. Science writer Deborah Rudisill has reported that the German people felt raped, that was her word, by the existence of openly queer people. Clearly, the homeland had to be defended, and it was a good thing that the perverts were being given a message. Otherwise, who knows what kind of social degeneration could have followed in Germany. Speaking of fascism, the only real message coming out of the State of the Union address was presented before the chimp in chief had a chance to speak. Anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan was dragged out of her chair, which she was occupying at the invitation of a member of Congress. She was dragged up the stairs in handcuffs. She was taken to be fingerprinted. She was taken to two separate jails and interrogated for an hour. At first, the Fatherland's news organs, like CNN, for example, reported that she had been arrested for sneaking in a banner. When that turned out to be utterly false, the story disappeared. Poof, gone. The local monopoly chain Daily somehow failed to mention the incident in yesterday morning's paper, but the story has legs of its own, partly because the Thought Police also evicted a Republican congressman's wife from the great pageant of our leader. The official excuse is that they were both wearing T-shirts that said something. Now, the Republican congressman's wife was politely removed, or maybe it was a tad impolite. She was certainly impolite to the arresting officer. Cindy Sheehan was dragged off. Cindy Sheehan had a shirt that displayed, well, I guess the distinction I'm trying to make here is Cindy Sheehan gets roughed up and arrested, and the right-winger, well, doesn't get that kind of treatment. Cindy Sheehan had on a shirt that said, well, it displayed the official watered-down number of U.S. troops killed, and the Republican was suspiciously displaying support our troops on hers. At least that's supposed to be the reason for their arrests. Maybe they are lesbians. In any case, the message is clear. Constitutional rule is over. Done with. Out of here. Hail Emperor Bush. Nos peritori mortem salutamus. Number to call if you have comments, 503-231-8187. That's 231-8187. I have news accounts. Let's see, the latest on bird flu. Guantanamo report from Radio Havana, Cuba. Message from Cindy Sheehan. And, that kind of stuff. And also a story on apparently the possibility of restarting the Contra Wars. But I'll go to the first caller. Once again, that number, 503-231-8187. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Kim, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. Hey, a couple months ago you said the economy was going to collapse. I'm still waiting for that. Do you know when that's going to happen?
No, that was last year that I
said. Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does it feel to be in the minority all the time?
Have you noticed how many people don't have decent jobs?
Oh, I've got I own a great corporation. I employ 15 people who have great jobs. I treat them good. I pay them well.
Really? Do they have full health care?
My key employee, who is a Hispanic, just bought his second house as a rental.
Do they have full health care?
No, because they don't want it. I offered.
Oh, they don't want health care. Well, that's interesting. I think most human beings are interested in health care. He likes disease? Does he like disease?
We'd rather have a raise than health care.
Oh, I see. A raise. That's nice. So tell me, these 15 employees, do they have an equal say and a share in all the profits of the corporations, or do you treat them as serfs?
They're my employees, and I started this corporation.
Oh, you started? You had the capital.
Sweat and blood, and
oh, your sweat and blood. Oh, it must have been rough. So you had the capital, so you're the capitalist. So what you say goes, and if you feel like firing them,
my wife and I are shareholders.
They're on the street, aren't they?
My wife and I are shareholders, and all of my employees live in a home that they own.
You're a parasite, mister.
Huh?
You're a parasite.
And you don't even own a house, and you grew up here.
You're so wrong. I own a house.
All you do is you live off the welfare of my money.
No, you're wrong.
You know, I support
I work
Cuba.
Hard for
you know
a living.
Why? Do you know I support Cuba?
You won't support anyone if you get sick. Have you ever thought of that?
I support Cuba. Do you know that? Do you know how?
With fascism?
No, because all my taxes go to pay the 90% of welfare cases that listen to and support Cuba.
You are living in a fantasy world. You know, like most Republicans and neocons, you live in a fantasy world. You have no access to the facts. You don't know what you're talking about, and you can't back them up. So I'll go to the next caller. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And before I take that call, news on the bird flu situation definitely heating up. from Recombinomics.com. Tijan Abdelkader died on 17th of January, and 2 days later, the World Health Organization declared Iraqi tests had shown she had not died of bird flu. There were also no reports of dead chickens in the area, and she seemed to have another illness, Dick Thompson, a World Health Organization, told News Scientist. Fortunately, he says, her doctors asked for a second opinion. On Monday, the 30th of January, the U.S. Navy Medical Research Unit in Cairo, Egypt, confirmed H5N1 in samples from the girl. On Tuesday evening, the National Institute for Medical Research at Mill Hill in London, one of the World Health Organization's official collaborating centers for flu, also confirmed the virus. The above comments by the World Health Organization are causes for concern. The evidence for H5N1 in wild birds and poultry in northern Iraq was overwhelming, yet WHO considered the lack of reports of H5N1 as a reason to discount a case that was clearly bird flu based on clinical presentation. The King Eye version of H5N1 was easily traced. As expected, H5N1 then migrated into European Russia as well as the Volga Delta and the Danube Delta. The report of H5N1 in western Turkey provided further evidence that H5N1 was migrating along a route that would pass through the Middle East into Africa. The lack of H5N1 reports in the Middle East was highly suspect. Large die-offs of wild and domestic poultry were reported. A wide range of causes was cited, but there was little doubt that bird flu had migrated through the Middle East. The data for northern Iraq was even stronger. In January, Turkey filed a number of OIE reports detailing H5N1 outbreaks throughout Turkey dating back to mid-November. In addition, Turkey reported human cases throughout the country that appeared simultaneously, indicating H5N1 in humans was being transmitted and transported by wild birds. Thus, when the fatal case in northern Iraq was reported with symptoms that matched the fatal human cases in Turkey, there was little doubt that bird flu in humans had been detected. This infection was supported by the death of the index case's uncle, who cared for the index case and also had bird flu symptoms. WHO has been given additional authority beginning January 1st to investigate infectious diseases that could cross international borders. H5N1 has clearly crossed Turkey's borders into all neighboring countries, including Iraq, yet WHO discounts a fatal case in humans due to a lack of reports of bird flu in birds. WHO has consistently tried to find data to support its preconceived notions on bird flu transmission. Iraq, like Turkey, China, Indonesia, and Cambodia, was not considered to have a human case until there was a familial cluster. Let me say that again, familial cluster, that almost certainly involved human-to-human transmission. WHO continues to misrepresent the frequency of human-to-human transmission and withheld disease onset dates and familial relationships in its updates on Turkey. These commissions by omission deserve a third-party investigation. I guess he means crimes by omission. That's on Recombinomics.com. Click on the What's Up button, and that will give you the latest commentary and news. Number to call if you have comments, 503-231-8187. And hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Teresa. This is Catherine Stoffer calling.
Hi, Catherine Stoffer.
Hi. I was just calling to respond to what you said at the beginning of the show, that you had been harassed.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wanted to say I'm really sorry, and I want you to know that you have fans out here. And I just want to say, too, if anyone lays a finger on you, I'm going to kick their ass.
That's funny. Because that's how my daughter talks. She says, I'm going to get a shotgun. I'm like, whoa, ease up, girl. Well, that's sweet. I appreciate that. I mean, actually, you know, hearing a little solidarity from, well, I know you, but hearing it from the public is just, it's such a relief. And it's something that I rarely get on the bus. The other thing that bothers me driving the bus, you know, when I get these confrontations is usually complete silence from the public. I think once or twice someone has spoken up and said, you know, that's not appropriate or something like that.
Well, maybe it'd be nice if, like, your whole listening audience took a second to think about the fact that you're a transgendered bus driver and really what guts that takes.
Well, thank you. You know, I've been trying to pass better. When I do this show, I come into this little cubicle that I've been coming into for years. I used to do it. Record it, but when I come in here, and you know, the persona kind of takes it. And so what I'm saying is, when I drive the bus, let me try. I feminize my voice much more. I work on it, you know, and I pass a lot of the time, but this town isn't all that big, and a lot of people know the instant they see me that I'm transgender, and a lot of them are just pissed about it, and so they spread it around. And I think with, I think not just for myself, but for all, you know, members of the human gender and sexuality spectrum that don't, you know, identify or appropriately, you know, hide or however that works as hetero. Boy, that wasn't articulate, was it? I mean, you know, for all us queers, things are getting hot because of Bush and because of the Pope.
Yeah, definitely. Let me say one more thing. You are a great dresser.
Why, thank you.
And you look good in that TriMet outfit.
Aw, shucks.
Okay, that's it for me. I'm sorry I'm not more intellectual, but I'm at least light years ahead of your last caller.
That's the truth. Thank you, Catherine.
Okay.
Catherine's been an outspoken defender of gay and lesbian rights for many years. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And hi, you're on KBOO.
Good morning, Teresa. This is Richard Koenig.
Good morning, Richard.
Were you talking about another incident since the one where I came up to you and gave you my phone number so you could...
That's right, you were there.
Okay, so it hasn't happened again, right?
Yeah. Oh, you know what's funny, though? That wasn't a homophobic incident. That guy was just a jerk.
He was pretty radical.
Yeah.
Well...
I thought about charging him, but then I thought, you know, I shoved him so hard he fell out of the bus. I thought, you know, he got what he had coming, so...
Well, here's what I want to talk about. I'm sorry I'm not quite up on the avian flu. I mean, I'm watching it, but I'm not there. But... I just had a chance to talk to Marlene Howell from Police and Citizen Accountability, Dave Mazza from the Portland Alliance, and our associate Joanne Bowman, who used to be a state rep. And I was saying the big problem with what's happening out here in the world is that most of us don't know who we are in relation to government. And I said, now the last caller suggested that one of you folks run for political office because Gary Blackmer's seat is uncontested and Saltzman's a weak limp wrist. Why don't you go for one of those? And so I said, I called in and I said, well, the first thing every elected official is
going to
do.
I can't believe you called him a limp wrist. Oh, no, not a limp wrist.
I'm sorry about that. Don't take that wrong.
Well, you know, but I encourage you, I'm like, you know, look at your vocabulary. And take those, you know, I mean, you know, that's a homophobic thing. You probably didn't mean it that way. You're trying to say he's weak.
I have heard it as that, and yeah. But I don't think that I have used it like that. I mean, it's like, I don't know. We'll talk about that one another. Let me finish this little anecdote here.
All right.
The first thing that all these elected officials do when they take office is swear to support the Constitution. Can one of you folks give us the first line, the first sentence? And I said, don't worry about quoting it, just the gist. And I said, you know this, Joanne, right? The biggest dead airspace on KABU since 7 o'clock happened then.
Let's see, doesn't that start We the People?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, that's the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah. But it's the gist is that all power is inherent in the people. If we don't understand that, if we don't insist that that's the way it is, then there's a problem. And it goes on to say that the three legitimate functions of government, the only three, are to assure our own peace, safety, and happiness.
And if we don't, we get these Stalinist tactics at the State of the Union address, which is just humiliating.
That was incredible. That State of the Union, I could not finish it. When he starts running on about his programs that are going to stretch into his third and fourth administrations, you know, that was, I had to walk out. I couldn't stomach it. But it just sounds like he's going to elect himself for life.
Yeah, I can't listen to him either. I always read the reports afterwards because I think to myself, why should I let this guy get me all, you know, upset?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you tell one lie after another, you get upset about the first lie and then the second lie, and then it all piles up and you just want to explode.
I thought I would try to listen to it and so that I could talk to other people about what I heard, but I couldn't finish it.
Know what you mean. Okay, well, thanks for calling in, and thanks for being a mention standing up for me when there was violence on the bus. I really appreciate it.
No problem. You're not. I'm not just a member of the public. I'm your neighbor.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Okay, number to call, 503-231-8187. Been talking about queer bashing as a component of the latest wave of fascism to hit the United States. And, well, let's just say probably the worst. I wonder if that's really true. I should talk to Howard Zinn about that. been talking about bird flu, and of course, you know, one of the reasons I bring up bird flu is because Katrina. And you want to get Katrina'd, all we have to have is another disaster, and bird flu would definitely fill the bill. 503-231-8187. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I was wondering, I got a couple of things. Mad cow disease, has that been invalidated because the reality of it? And number two, I put my sign on the front of my apartment door again in peach bush now, so I wonder, is that when things get rough for me, is there going to be anybody there to support me? And then getting to Cindy Sheehan, this senator's wife, now does that mean the senator's wife is supporting her Cindy's political views, and possibly the senator is supporting Cindy's political views, or is that going too far?
The congressman's wife was escorted out for wearing a T-shirt that said, "Support our troops," not much more than that.
Okay. I'll get off the air. Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for calling. It was a case of hysteria. My personal opinion on mad cow disease, well, there's recently a case found in Canada. I hear the usual excuses. The recommendations from Howard Lyman and others who follow the nature of the disease is that cattle should not come into contact with anything that has passed through other animals, but they still are getting food in that manner, particularly calves are being given a milk substitute that contains blood of other cows. And that's just the start of it. It's through that sort of mechanism that the prions spread and replicate themselves. My opinion also is that a great deal of what is called Alzheimer's is actually a variation of mad cow disease. And I think that it's much more widespread than is being reported. I think it's still... it is currently a health threat. It is currently killing people. And I consider that the corporate media is just going to keep covering it up until some really virulent form of it pops up. It's just going to be, there's going to be a lid on it. Gee, this is my day for difficult circumlocutions. I'll just try to keep my words simple and go to the next caller. Hi.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi.
I'm glad you're there and doing what you're doing. On the Alzheimer's, they estimate that about 10% of the people that are supposedly diagnosed with Alzheimer's are actually dying from mad cow disease, but it's too expensive to autopsy the brains and do analysis.
Yeah, because then you have to destroy your equipment. You can't get the prions off. You can bake them, and the prions are still there. It's amazing.
Exactly right. The old Multnomah County coroner's office down on Knott Street actually could not be reused as a coroner's office because all the equipment was contaminated under the old days when they didn't even consider that. So it was sold as surplus property. I called on topic the flyway, the Pacific flyway from Siberia, i.e. Asia, mm-hmm. to the United States is right here in our backyard.
Yep, and you can see the Canada geese flying in.
And Arctic terns, and also there's strays because of storms that sometimes get blown off course. But I want to just bring this up, something that you and I and others might want to pay attention to. I called the State Health Division today, and they said that they are not monitoring wild bird populations for this in their feces, and that they're saying that it's up to each county in Oregon and their own little underfunded health departments to do wild bird testing. And I thought that was rather interesting.
It is interesting, and one reason I consider it interesting is that, you know, the government, as it is composed right now, has got a fair salting of some unbelievably vile creeps like Wolfowitz, people who I suspect, although they won't admit it often publicly, have a slant towards extremism.
Death cult.
Well, yeah, I mean, and bird flu would be, you know, and they always have a sort of euphemistic way of talking about it, but, you know, bird flu is just could be a convenient way to Katrina the entire population of the United States, and that would solve the peak oil problem for a while, wouldn't it?
Well, it certainly would play into homeland security, which is my last point. There are billions of dollars of homeland security, which, if you take it literally, should mean anything that threatens our country. So in the case of public health, couldn't some of those billions of dollars be given to counties or states to do basic monitoring of the bird flu coming into the country and possible prevention?
But the way the Bush administration has been talking so far is that if there's a severe outbreak of bird flu, well, then that's their cue to just get NORTHCOM to point their guns at us.
Well, I guess until Halliburton bids on a no-competition contract, then I guess we won't see any of that. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. Almost done. I'll take one more caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Teresa. This is Megan Sands.
Hi.
And I have a solution. So does Howard Lyman for the mad cow disease and Asian flu. We're asking folks all across the United States to go vegan on Mondays. And you'll see us down dressed in, as chickens every Saturday morning in front of KFC on 7th and Broadway. And we're handing out really excellent literature with recipes.
Go vegan on Mondays. Well, we'd certainly be healthier if we did that.
Yeah, and then if we go down to visit Lighthouse Farm Sanctuary in Salem, we can visit the chickens and the cows in person and see how loving they are, too. My favorite rescued dog was named Teresa, so I love you in her memory.
Arf. Okay,
yes.
Well, thanks for calling in, then.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Time is 9:59. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from, in other words, Women's Books and Resources, your local nonprofit feminist bookstore and resource center, offering community space events, gifts, tools for the revolution, a comprehensive collection of women's writings, and more, located at 3734 Southeast Hawthorne and on the web at www.inotherwords.org. And by the way, it ain't government money supporting this station by and large. It's your contributions, and we're very proud of that and very grateful. Stay tuned for more of the Incomparable Radio Zine.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 16th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films from February 3rd through March 4th. This year's festival highlights include films from Angola opening and closing the festival, and an examination of the African legacy in Mexico through screening, symposium, and community conversation. Additionally, there will be a spotlight on AIDS in Africa, Women Filmmakers Week, and appearances by some of the directors at the film festival. For more information, visit AfricanFilmFestival.org or call 503-244-6111, extension 3630.
Jump if you get belly to put down. Drink if you get belly to take on. Enjoy yourself as you think you sabi. Enjoy yourself as you think you sabi.